None of the information contained herein meets the definition of classified information outlined in Executive Order 13526, Part 1, Section 1.1.
Trans people are still being persecuted. They're human beings. Let's give them jobs.
The category is love, y'all, love.
Wherever you are out there and you're listening today, just build your soulful, beautiful, heart-filled army that will catch you when you fall.
Love is all that matters after all.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucian Chappell. Singapore activist doctor seeks to cure anti-gay sex law. Arquette and Porter bring out the Emmys. And Herndon harnesses country music to help queer kids. Those stories and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Jean Beaupre.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending September 28, 2019. A prominent queer activist in Singapore has filed a lawsuit challenging the city-state's ban on consensual sex between adult men. Dr. Roy Tan filed his case with the Singapore High Court on September 20th. The Attorney General is named as the defendant. The punishment for gross indecency between men under Section 377A of Singapore's Penal Code is up to 2 years in prison. Dr. Tan's lawsuit argues that the archaic and discriminatory statute violates both Article 9 and Article 14 of Singapore's Constitution. Those are the guarantees of life and personal liberty and freedom of speech and expression. Singapore's Supreme Court upheld the legality of Section 377A in 2014. Tan hopes last year's overturning of a similar statute by India's High Court is a good omen for a pro-LGBTQ ruling this time. Defenders of Section 377A claim that the British colonial-era statute is essentially harmless because it's rarely enforced. Dr. Tan's lawsuit argues that, by institutionalizing discrimination, it alienates gay men from having a sense of belonging and purposeful place in our society. The retired physician and LGBTQ activist was the leading organizer of Singapore's first Pink Dot Freedom to Love gathering in 2009. Attendance at the annual LGBTQ Pride event has grown exponentially ever since.
The entire schedule of Beirut, Lebanon's planned 9-day LGBTQ Pride Festival has been suspended until further notice. It was set to kick off with a free concert on Saturday night, September 28th, at the well-known capital city venue, The Palace. Multiple threats against the organizers, attendees, and the venue itself forced the cancellation of the concert on September 26th. The organizers' statement said religious institutions called for the cancellation of the concert, linking it to the promotion of same-sex marriage and associating it with debauchery and immorality. Lebanon is considered to be one of the region's more queer-tolerant countries. Same-gender sex was decriminalized in 2013. Still, there are no affirmative rights for LGBTQ people. One of the Beirut Pride organizers was arrested and temporarily detained last year, and a number of events were canceled then. This year, the team is regrouping to determine which of the other festival events might still be held.
Organizers of LGBTQ Pride in the Jamaican resort city of Montego Bay announced on September 26 that their events would be canceled. They cited security concerns and the difficulty of finding a welcoming venue. Both Mayor Homer Davis and City Councilor Charles Sinclair expressed opposition to queer events being held at a government-owned cultural center. A statement from Montego Bay Pride charged that no other venue will rent to us at a reasonable rate. Organizers also claimed that the local police have advised that the hysteria whipped up against LGBT Jamaicans by the mayor and the councillor is so violent right now that the police can't provide security without extraordinary measures and expense. Some 3,000 people had been expected to attend the festival kickoff, Walk for Rights, on October 13th. Montego Bay Pride also plans to take legal action alleging violations of their constitutional rights to freedom of expression, association, and assembly. They said that the city officials' dangerous and reckless words and actions have brought international shame on Montego Bay and Jamaica. The English-speaking Caribbean island nation is considered to be one of the most queer-phobic places on Earth. Discrimination, harassment, verbal abuse, and physical violence against those perceived to be LGBTQ are commonplace.
An alarming survey conducted among South Korea's LGBTQ teens reveals that 45% have tried to commit suicide. More than half have attempted some kind of self-harm. Those shocking statistics prompted the LGBTQ advocacy group Chingusai to open an LGBTQ telephone helpline. Chingusai means between friends. Same-gender sex was declassified in South Korea as harmful and obscene in 2003. However, a recent nationwide survey found that almost one in two South Koreans don't want to live near or work with an LGBTQ person. Another poll found that 92% of LGBTQ people worry about becoming targets of a hate crime. The influential Protestant Christian community calls sexual and gender minorities unethical and abnormal. The depressing teen suicide survey is no surprise to Dr. Park J. Wan. He works in a hospital by day and runs the Connecting Hearts helpline as a volunteer at night. Dr. Park told the BBC that young callers usually talk about feeling alienated, isolated, feeling like they are a burden to someone. Even though queer sex is no longer a crime, South Korea offers no legal protections for LGBTQ people. Dr. Park thinks that passing affirmative laws would be a good first step. We need to seriously think about how to embrace sexual minorities and think about what they need, he said.
A gay couple who fled Russia out of fear that their two young sons would be taken away from them are seeking asylum in the U.S. Andrei Vaganov and Evgeny Yerofeyev were vacationing with their sons abroad when they got word that police had searched their home and their family's homes. They decided that it was no longer safe to return to Russia. Vaganov adopted Denis and Yuri as a single parent in 2010. In July, the government announced an investigation of the Moscow Social Welfare Agency that allowed the adoption. Vaganov legally wed Yerofeyev in Denmark in 2016. Since Russia does not recognize their marriage, Yerofeyev has no legal relationship to the couple's children. No one has explained why the social workers are suddenly under investigation for criminal negligence after the family's happy and uneventful years together. The gay dads also face criminal charges under the 2013 law against so-called gay propaganda. Vaganov told German broadcaster Deutsche Welle that the law immediately turned us into criminals because of our sexual orientation. According to the Russian LGBTQ group Coming Out, Denis and Yuri have started school in the U.S. and are adjusting to their new home. According to former British Prime Minister David Cameron, Vladimir Putin is all about making babies. In his new memoir, For the Record, Cameron recounts an icy exchange with Putin about Russia's 2013 law banning the promotion of non-traditional sexual relations. Cameron writes that Putin bizarrely said that Russia's problem was a declining population and he needed men to marry women and have lots of children.
Finally, two U.S. anti-queer hate groups have made news this week. Tony Perkins of the far-right Evangelical Family Research Council warned that Democrats were out to get their tax-exempt status. His urgent email to followers followed a decision by the U.S. House Ways and Means Committee that more than 60 so-called Christian groups should not enjoy such status. Committee Chair John Lewis said in a press release that, "I believe the federal government should not sponsor or support groups whose hatred seeks to divide us." The Family Research Council calls same-gender love unnatural and worse. In his call to arms, Perkins warned that if they succeed in making the Bible hate speech, they'll march on to America's churches and then to anyone with politically incorrect views. Pink News reports that several white supremacist and anti-Semitic groups were also among those named by the committee.
And a federal judge ruled this week that the Florida-based Coral Ridge Ministries could be identified as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Coral Ridge sued the civil rights organization in 2017. Amazon cited the designation to disqualify the men ministries from getting donations, so Coral Ridge sued them, too. They claimed that they were recklessly labeled among similar pro-family groups that stand for traditional marriage and God's rules for marriage as haters. In response to the filing of the lawsuit in 2017, the Southern Poverty Law Center insisted that the fact that Coral Ridge claims its statements about the LGBT community are biblically based doesn't immunize it from criticism. We have a First Amendment right to express our opinions, just as Coral Ridge has a right to express its opinions. U.S. District Judge Myron Thompson carefully avoided weighing in on whether or not Coral Ridge is, in fact, a hate group. However, he did rule for the civil rights group's free speech right to label the ministries that way. The Law Center said in a press release this week that organizations on its hate group list vilify others because of their race, religion, ethnicity, sexual orientation, or gender identity, prejudices that strike at the heart of our democratic values and fracture society along its most fragile fault lines. The statement also pointed out that the FBI uses similar criteria in its definition of a hate crime.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending September 28, 2019. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to News Wrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out Radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm John Dyer V.
I always say, if you're going to kick your kid out of the house for an announcement like that, I think the parents should leave the house and go live under a bridge in a cardboard box.
It's not this country singer's first time at the Queer Rodeo. Hear the before and after, but first...
We got summer vision love. Oh, yeah, summer vision love. Oh, yeah.
The LGBTQ community got lots of television love at the 71st Primetime Emmy Awards on September 22nd. Patricia Arquette and Billy Porter led the queer way at the Los Angeles Trophy Fest. Arquette accepted the Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Limited Series Pride for her role in The Act, with a show of support for her deceased transgender sister.
But in my heart, I'm so sad. I lost my sister Alexis, and that trans people are still being persecuted. And I'm in mourning every day of my life, Alexis, and I will be the rest of my life for you, until we change the world so that trans people are not persecuted, and give them jobs. They're human beings. Let's give them jobs. Let's get rid of this bias that we have everywhere. Thank you.
Ben Whishaw thanked his partner Mark as he picked up the supporting actor in a limited series Emmy for playing a gay man in A Very English Scandal. RuPaul's Drag Race once again grabbed the reality competition trophy. RuPaul himself took home the Outstanding Host of a Reality Competition Program Emmy during the preceding Creative Arts Ceremony. Australia's breakout, very out star Hannah Gadsby of the streaming comedy special Nanette won for Outstanding Writer for a Variety Special. But the gay night belonged to the lead actor in a drama series winner from Outrider producer Ryan Murphy's latest TV triumph, Pose. Queer ally Kerry Washington broke the big news.
And once again, we witness history unfold. The Emmy goes to Billy Porter.
Oh my God, I gotta read. Oh my God, God bless you all. The category is love, y'all, love. I am so overwhelmed and I am so overjoyed to have lived long enough to see this day. James Baldwin said, took many years of vomiting up all the filth that I had been taught about myself and halfway believed before I could walk around this earth like I had the right to be here. I have the right. You have the right. We all have the right. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. We are the people. We as artists are the people that get to change the molecular structure of the hearts and minds of the people who live on this planet. Please don't ever stop doing that. Please don't ever stop telling the truth. I love you all. They're telling me to please stop. God bless you. God bless you. If I forgot anybody, I'm sorry. I love you all.
That was 2019's lead actor in a drama series Emmy winner, Billy Porter. Fleabag was the surprise comedy winner, and the season's swan song of Game of Thrones earned the Emmy for drama series.
Hey everybody, this is Lita Laria, and
I'm Ellen DeGeneres, and you're listening to
This Way Out.
Hollywood hooked up with Nashville for a hot date on September 21st, and guess who tagged along?
Hi, I'm Brian DeShazer, and this is This Way Out, and I'm with American country music singer Ty Herndon, who's
Hi.
Here. Hello, Ty. And you're here in Los Angeles to perform tonight at the LGBT Center's 50th anniversary gala.
Isn't that cool?
At the Greek Theater. So let's talk about your music first of all, and we'll get into the LGBT flavor of it.
Sure.
But you began in 1995 with your first album, and so you've been around for a while.
Yes, I have. You know, I started out in bluegrass, gospel, and Christian music, and of course country. You know, country was always on the jukebox at my house, so it's interesting the influences that have become a bit of the house that built me over the years.
Let's take a moment to listen to Ty sing. This is the track, So Small, from his new album, Got It Covered. The music video features the LGBTQ youth of the Rainbow Squad, a Nashville-based group based around providing a safe space and community resources for trans and gay kids.
You want to shut the world out and just be left alone, but don't run out on your faith. Sometimes that mountain you've been climbing is just a grain of sand.
Every coming out story is different.
Sure.
Whether you're what ethnicity, race, class, money, fortune, fame, whatever, we all have the same sort of story. There's a thread that runs through all of us in terms of
there is
owning your authenticity, and but then you have a battle to fight.
Yeah, it's a thread of damage, really, because we're getting there around this planet, but we certainly have not accomplished what I would say true success, and people not being able to be themselves in their workplace and in their careers and in their schools and their homes and their jobs. And so it's still a big scary thread that that runs through us worldwide. Now, it's gotten better. You know, it's definitely gotten better in country music. I'm so proud of my town, and I'm so proud of Nashville, and I'm proud of the South. You know, I have small towns. I'm from a little small town in the South, in the United States, in Alabama, and they're running PSAs for teenage suicide. And it's not just teenage. It's tweens now. It's kids up to 10 years old, as young as that, are damaging themselves over the brutality of being beat up by words, by actions, being kicked out of their homes, their churches, their families, their communities.
Ostracized.
Bullied, right? So it's there's a lot of work to be done, but we are seeing success in some of those areas that these kids are able to find help.
Right, and you are actually part of that in terms of your philanthropy and your support of the LGBT
community. I sure hope so.
You told a story the other night at Rockwell Stage and Table. I should get a free drink out of that one.
You should, right? Absolutely.
What's your friend now?
This particular kid, his mom and dad brought him to my show. He wants to be a country artist one day. And I always say this, I learn so much from kids. We all do. You know, they can sure school you. But this kid was bright and shiny. You know, I knew right away the fact that his mom and dad brought him to my show. And dad's like, okay, this kid's 10 years old, and he's announced to us that he wants to be a country artist. He's also announced to us that he believes that he's gay. And how are you going to speak into this kid? So sometimes for me, it's, you know, that's a really early age for a kid to know exactly who he or she is. I think that time you grow and change. But the main thing that I want that I speak into kids and I tell parents to speak into kids is support and love and community. So as long as a kid feels support, love, and community, they're able to thrive and grow. So also, it's a huge responsibility for the parents when a child comes to them and it makes this kind of announcement, for them to extremely educate themselves on what's going on in the world and their community and really protect that kid. I always say, if you're going to kick your kid out of the house for an announcement like that, I think the parents should leave the house and go live under a bridge in a cardboard box. I don't think it's a place for a kid. And I always say this, you know, if you're going to bring that child into this world, then you have one job, and that's to love that kid and nurture that kid. And not all kids are the same. You know, I say this also to parents who don't have LGBTQ kids as well. Plus, you know, you got to love this kid. So there's so many kids on the street. You know, and young adults on the streets and adults on the streets who have come from that background. So,
right, and that trauma.
And that trauma,
said,
yes.
Right.
And so why not stop it early?
Right.
And also, that's a big part of my message.
And when you talk to somebody that young, and I realize it's less about sexuality than it is about identity and authenticity.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. Back to the story I told this kid. Okay, great. Listen to your mom and dad. Study hard. If you want to be a singer and a songwriter, there are three things that you have to do over the next 10 years of your life. Number one, well, there are four things. Number one, get an education. And always tell any artist, have a fallback plan, please. Mm-hmm. My mom and dad made me, and it's paid off, actually. But I told this young man, I said, this is actually a little boy, I said, look, if you want to be a singer, work on your art, be the best singer you can be. If you want to be a producer, work on, study hard and learn all the ropes of that. And if you want to be a businessman in Nashville, all three of those things are going to come into play. So, and mom and dad, it's really up to you to really make sure that if this dream stays intact, that these things are accomplished for him. And I looked at the kid and I said, you know, you got pretty great mom and dad that would bring you here today. That's pretty cool. And this, as any 10-year-old kid, he rolled his eyes and said, you can have them.
I'm Brian DeShazer, and you are listening to my chat with country singer-songwriter Ty Herndon on his way to perform at the 50th Anniversary Gala Concert for the Los Angeles LGBT Center.
Tonight, the concert at the Greek Theater.
Yes.
What are you going to be singing?
I am, I believe that I'm opening the show with the LGBTQ version of my first number one hit, What Mattered Most. Which was iconic to do that this year. It was such an iconic a hit originally, but I wanted to give it a 25th birthday present, not only for myself, but these kids that I've been talking about, all the boys and girls out there who have heard me talk about all of this stuff. And so, like, the best birthday present I can give this song is extreme authenticity. And so I changed the pronouns in the song, but for this particular song, I remember 25 years ago standing in the studio, being very closeted and being in a relationship with a man for, you know, we'd been in a relationship for 9 years, and that relationship continued for four more years after my career took off. Tour buses aren't often good for marriages. You're gone a lot. Anyhow, and then having to hide him, you know, and I remember standing in the studio recording the song. I think it says her and she in it something like 36 times. It's a lot, you know, and just thinking, closing my eyes, I thought of two things. I thought of him, and I thought of my mom and dad, who really struggled over the years to stay together. You know, life can really throw rocks at you sometimes, and I watched them work through so much stuff, and that made me the man I am today, a very strong man and willing to negotiate and be humble about things that come your way. But I was standing in the studio. My producer and I recorded a really gorgeous track for the song. I did not think it would affect me that much, to be honest with you. Mm. I didn't think that it would affect me to my core standing in that studio, but I went all the way back to standing in that studio in Nashville recording this song for the first time. And I got halfway through the first chorus, and I just freaking lost it. I mean, into heavy sobs. That my producer cleared the studio and just gave me that moment. It was such a gift. And I love that you're friends with people, producers, people you work with, and they respect the fact that they knew exactly what was going on. I needed that moment. you know, 15 minutes later, I kind of got centered and did some breathing exercises and was grateful for the fact that there was still some stuff in me that needed to come out.
I thought I knew the boy so well. If he was sad, I could not tell. I missed the point and I missed the signs. If he's gone, the fault is mine.
Yes, don't think you're alone. And I also say this as well, there's an element of trust that goes along with it, because you really want to make sure that you surround yourself with people that support you. And so build your army around you of amazing people that support you. And you've got a backup. And so wherever you are out there and you're listening today, just build your army, man. Build your soulful, beautiful, heart-filled army that will catch you when you fall.
Great. Ty Herndon, it's been such a pleasure meeting you, and we're going to leave listening to your song, What Mattered Most, here on This Way Out. And for more beautiful. About Ty Herndon, go to tyherndon.com. You can see the videos of his songs and his discography and his 25 years or more of singing. And
yes.
Believe you me, his voice will soothe you and be that sort of light at the end of the tunnel if you have a little darkness. So take care of yourself, and we'll see you tonight at the Greek Theater for the 50th anniversary of the Los Angeles LGBT Center.
Awesome. Believe and love, you guys. See you later.
Thanks, Ty.
A postscript to this story, Ty received an overwhelming standing ovation at the concert, and I called him to get his reaction.
I did not expect a standing ovation. I did not expect that, and as you saw on stage, it brought me to tears. So I felt honored. I felt humbled, very humbled.
His eyes are blue, his hair was long, his 6'4", he was born in Baton Rouge. His mother's tall, his mother's calm, he moved out with
I'm Brian Shazer for This Way Out.
We'll be featuring Ty Herndon's official So Small video at thiswayout.org. A month-long commemoration of the first National Queer Demonstration's 40th anniversary.
If I have to walk on my hands to Washington, I'm going to be there.
I never thought that I would ever see anything like this.
You wouldn't know how many people were gay until you took a look at this.
And here comes the National March on Washington for lesbian and gay rights.
All that and more during LGBT History Month in October on This Way Out. Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from John Beaupre and John Dyer V, produced by Brian DeShazer, and from Brian DeShazer. Lil Nico and Ty Herndon performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley, and all of the listener donors who make this program possible, including you, we hope. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Lucia Chappelle. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 2BAY Byron Bay, New South Wales, WXOJLP Northampton, Massachusetts, KBOO Corvallis, Albany, Hood River, Oregon, and a wide array of community stations and other outlets around the world, including this one. Now y'all stay tuned.